What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 127 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we have a lot to talk about because it's been a minute. It's been a minute since you've seen us or seen me in cartoon version of Tess.
Cartoon version of me is awesome.
Right? And so a lot of stuff has happened in between. One of the things that happened is I went to see Scary Movie. And yeah, I actually tweeted this. I tweeted, the best thing I could say about that movie was that it was a movie. And I wanted to see if, because, you know, there's this idea, like the original Scary Movie, I want to say came out when I was 15, 16, I think, something to that effect.
Was that it?
And so... And then Scary Movie 2 was like a year or two later, right? And so I was thinking, like, maybe I don't think a lot of this stuff is funny because I was younger. Like, my younger self might enjoy this, is what I'm thinking. You know, you get older, your taste improves, that sort of thing, right? I saw Scary Movie 1 and 2 recently prior to watching this one, and they're still funny. Obviously, some jokes have aged very poorly. Not going to hold you. Some of them are not. You know what I mean? But I feel like there was a bit of cleverness to the jokes. Even if they were, you know, they might come off as mean-spirited, there was some cleverness. There was some, it felt like people were in on the joke. Like whoever was getting joked on, it felt like you were in on it and you were part of the gag. So essentially, if we're making, you know, we're doing the dozens and I'm joking on you, because I'm black, I can make a black joke and it works because I'm in on the joke. So it's not going to be offensive. It's just going to be a funny black joke that people can do with one another. And this is funny because this was something that Siskel and Ebert would actually argue back and forth in not for that movie, but for Don't Be a Menace, where they would talk about how there's the racial things in it was disturbing to Ebert. And Siskel was like, you know, I think it's hilarious. Like people should be able to make fun of themselves. And the other person was like, well, what if a white person made these same jokes? Would you feel the way? He was like, well, a white person wouldn't make that. And I was like, that is definitely the point. We are in on the joke. It makes sense to us. This is why we would make a film like that. You would make a film about whatever you are familiar with, right? Fast forward to this. This all makes sense, people. Fast forward to Scary Movie or Scary Movie 6. The jokes, two things. One, I think they were trying to be offensive. And in doing so, they are actually not offensive. Like, you have to, I don't think they offended anyone. Like, they have trans jokes, they have, you know, gay jokes, they have everything under the sun, black jokes. And I don't think anyone will be offended watching this film. Like, it would be like, it was such low-hanging fruit that I don't think anyone would actually feel a way. And maybe some people did. I can't speak for any other community, but just listening to it, I'm like, this is something that you would easily brush off. Like, this is something that would be said with potentially a coworker who doesn't know what they're talking about, or maybe using a word incorrectly, or just something where you're like, there is some micro racism or micro whatever aggression, but it's very like, oh, you just don't know, or you are just ignorant of so much that I can't even be mad at it. It's just not a good thing. It also has the it's also similar to the effect of the Scooby-Doo show that was based on Velma on HBO, where they are very much on the nose. Like, there's a scene that they show in the trailer where a person gets stabbed and a guy goes, "She was stabbed," and she's like, "No, my pronouns are such and such," and it's a very, it feels, it's modern and dated at the same time. Like, it's just such a 100 steps back to where we were at a certain point. And I mean that in a sense, not in a sense that it is like you're being disrespectful or, you know, it's nothing like the roast of Kevin Hart. That's probably the best way I can say it. If you've seen the roast of Kevin Hart, it's nothing like that, because some of those jokes are actually very offensive. This is like, I'm trying to be offensive. I don't know how to do it yet. You know, Bobby's first curse word type stuff. And then the second thing is that the jokes aren't well written. There's some slapstick stuff, right? And I look at Scary Movie 1. One of my favorite scenes is when the protagonist is running up the stairs and Ghostface is chasing her and she's grabbing things to throw at him. She grabs a bicycle, a vase mm-hmm. or whatever. And then she's like, Grandma. She grabs Grandma and throws her down the steps. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious because you're like, I didn't see this coming. It's funny because she's going to use anything and Grandma's just another object to her. You know, right. There's so many things that are happening before she throws the piano at him. And in this, we have, you know, one of the characters is, I'm trying not to spoil it for people who are actually going to go see it, but one of the characters is locked in her house. It's kind of a riff on the new Final Destination and mm-hmm. Halloween, where she's like, I'm afraid, I can't leave the house, so I have all these booby traps. And so they ask her, like, do you have any guns? She's like, yeah, I have guns everywhere. And prior to the scene, like, someone had tripped a booby trap and got hurt. So that's like the big laugh moment or whatever. But she's like, let me go show you. And she goes to walk away and then she just falls in this big hole of spikes. And she's like, I'm okay. And it's like, it looks like bad CGI. And because there's no hole there, obviously. And it was such a random event. Like, there was no lead up to it. There was like, when she said, be careful, there's booby traps, and then someone gets hit by a hammer, it makes sense because there's the setup and then the actual punchline.
Yeah.
Here, she's just talking about all the guns, which is supposed to be the joke. The joke is that she has a lot of guns, she's American, ha ha ha, and then she falls into a hole, and it's like...
Okay.
Like, I literally, I kid you not, I looked around the theater to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. Like, did any of you guys see this coming?
Right.
Like, did any of you expect... a fall here and no one is laughing, and the ages are, there's a lot of ages here, like there's teens, there's you know, older people, I'm pretty sure people who saw the original movies or whatever, and no one is laughing. I think there's literally two moments where people laughed and I laughed at one. Yeah. It's just poor, and I'm not gonna say that it didn't have a plot. It did have a plot. Like all the scary movies have a plot because they're a rift off of one film. So Scary Movie 1 was Scream. Scary Movie 2 was The Haunting. Scary Movie 3 was what was that poltergeist like movie? But whatever, it's usually one major film and then a bunch of spoofs from other films layered on top. So it did have a plot. It's just everything around it was bad. Like, just everything, all the jokes were just very, very, very bad. And it was very knock-knock-ish.
Ooh.
I think the closest time I almost had a good chuckle was when Ghostface was getting ready to kill someone. And she's screaming out, help. And, like, there's the camera moves over and, like, she's in a hospital. And there's a group of black people sitting, eating. And they're like, we're on lunch. Okay. And... like, that was, I was like, all right. I was like, all right, you got me on that one. Unfortunately, they disrupt the joke right after because the person gets up and helps her anyway. And I'm like, what is the point? Like, you're just haphazardly throwing stuff at the wall at this point. And I know I said this was going to be short, but I need to explain how bad this is. And this is not you know, this is not me saying you shouldn't go see it. This is not me saying that, you know, you might enjoy it. You know, more power to you. I'm just saying that I did not like any bit of this film. And I own the other movies.
Yeah.
And so I was saying this off air. I was like, this was like the, you know, America's Next Top Model moment. We're like, we were rooting for you. It's like, you know, the Wayans got their movie back. And I kind of said this when I saw the first trailer. I was like, ooh, none of this is funny. And
yeah,
you're like, your edge isn't even edgy anymore. Like, this is not, you're below South Park at this point. There is no offense. There is no offense here. Everyone will be perfectly fine. Like, I'm telling you, there's not going to be. And then I saw Marlon say, and shout out to creatives, right? Because there's this weird thing. There's always been this weird thing with critics where they're like, the critics never understand. The critics never whatever. And I don't believe that to be a thing. Obviously, I'm a critic. But if there's sometimes people just don't like what you do. And that's okay. There shouldn't be this us versus critics. If you're going to break any rules of cinema, you have to expect some pushback because you're breaking rules. And if you don't, like, you know, make a change in something, like Alfred Hitchcock broke a lot of rules, but those breaks in the things that he did inspired a lot of people, and it changed cinema, right? So yeah, some people didn't like it early on, but after a while they're like, oh, this is really great. People going backwards to see your old stuff, not so much, because there was nothing, you know, innovative there. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. It was just your brand of humor. Like when we talk about In Living Color, innovative.
Yeah.
Like when we talk about, heck, when we go, we can go to White Chicks. We can go to, like, there's things that you're doing that is like, oh, okay, I understand how this could be looked at one way and then later on be shown to be something grand because you broke some rules. Mm-hmm. But then there's just like, what is a good movie?
Yeah.
And just because you're doing something that's supposed to be humorous, you can fail in that. You can just not be funny. That's not a, it's not an indictment on the person's sense of humor all the time. Sometimes it's just not, it's funny to you because you thought of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No shade to the Wayans. I'm still a big fan of theirs, but it is what it is. I'm not going to lie. Not a good film. Not a good film. but speaking of some good stuff, though, you said you saw the first episode of That Vampire Lestat.
The Vampire Lestat. Oh, my goodness, y'all. It is wild. I wish Ash was here. We got to do another show with Ash. We have to talk about it because the way I was so ready and prepped, I'm going to tell you something which is real funny. So I told myself that I was going to get AMC on the day, okay, because I didn't have it. And I was like, I'm going to get it on the 7th. I'm not going to get it early because I was at first and I was like, wait a minute, I don't want to waste my 7 days, my free trial. I'm going to get it on the 7th. Let me tell you something. That morning, because I woke up really early on Monday, doctor's appointment, and not Monday, Sunday, sorry. I woke up really early on Sunday for no reason, no reason. And I think I was on Reddit and somebody had already posted that they had watched the episode. And I said, let me turn off my screen. I'm going to turn off the screen. I'm going to go log in to AMC. I'm going to finish my transaction, get my AMC. Because I was going to do it on Saturday night. I changed my mind.
Right.
I went, logged in, got my subscription. It's on my TV. That episode is literally there. I was like, I thought it was coming out tonight at night. No. They said premieres on the 7th. They didn't say what time. It was probably there at 12 midnight. Okay. And so because I was shocked, I was like, wait, now I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
And what? Anyway, so then I was ready and then I turned it on. Okay. So of course, I'm not going to give a full review. This is just a rundown, but I'm telling you from the opening music sequence, the visuals. Oh, I love Lestat. Okay. I love who Sam Reed transforms into. Like, he is diabolical. It was so fun. The storytelling is so fun. It's nothing like the other two seasons, which again, I love. I've talked extensively about how much I love that show.
Right.
But I mean, like, I love how it opens with, previously on the show that was formerly called Interview with the Vampire, that's now called The Vampire Lestat. Like, that is hilarious. Is to me.
Yeah.
It is.
It's smart.
It's smart. It's branding. Everything is neon. It's so funny. You have Lestat walking around in the don't demonetize us, YouTube, even though we don't get money. But in the cuntiest suit, pink silk satin suit. I said, I want that. I want that exact suit. I want that. It is so, like, just, there is so much happening. There's so many things happening. I'm talking about, you know, they do documentary style filming, and there is something happening in the corner of your television. If you do not have your remote in your hand to hit pause every about 4.3 seconds, you're going to miss something. Okay. Some crazy stuff is literally happening. Crazy stuff is happening in blips, just in blips. Pay attention to the credits, because you're like, I didn't know this person was in this episode. Yes, they are. It might have just been a fingernail, but they're in there. And it was a wild ride. It was the Superman at Adventure World. Six Flags. It was really, really good. The music was good. It was so much fun. Daniel Hart. Sam Reed, like, and the band, like, the people, like, they're actual musicians.
Right.
Just really, really, really put their foot in it, because that storytelling, the way that it was a Guy Ritchie film, okay, where the middle starts at the beginning and the end starts at the middle and the beginning is the end type, you know, style of filming, was just so good. And Danny Boy Malloy, you know, Eric as Danny, is just right back where he was in season two, asking the tough questions. I mean, everybody knows from season one, did you eat the baby? Did you eat the baby? And he's doing it again. Were you a stutterer as a child? Like, it's just, it's so good. It's chef's kiss. I'm having so much fun. I hate the fact that this is the first season that I'm watching each episode weekly. I was lucky enough to.
Because you can't binge it. Yeah.
I can't binge it, and so I'm upset. But it was such a wild ride. So worth it. I've watched it twice already. And I would have watched it more if I'd been feeling better. But because again, like, I watched it twice, and I'm catching all these different things. And I was, I'm like, I put it on again to watch it again yesterday, like later on in the evening, and then I ended up not. It's so good, guys. You have to watch the show. There's just no reason. Like, go get your AMC subscription, cancel it in 8 weeks, you know? Like, just watch the show. Watch the show. It's so, so, so good. And it's going to be traumatic. It's going to be really traumatizing. I'm so psyched to see Baby Stat. You know I love Baby Stat. Baby Stat! I'm so like, he's such a little boy and he's so cute. And I'm just like, I don't want anything bad to happen to him. And you know that bad stuff happens to him when he's a kid. I'm like, ah.
Right.
And then there's going to be Teen Stat. And I'm just like, ugh. And they are going for it. They're going to put the most horrid things in this show. I'm like, we already have the Lestat and his mom. Just come on, man. This is not okay.
Yeah, it's. I mean, but the book is wild, you know.
The book is wild.
Oh, that's cool though. So what you're saying is you're gonna need a longer subscription, to the streamer in order to watch. I haven't caught up with not let me lie. I haven't started watching the interview because I've had so much other stuff going on. But yeah, it's from what I've been hearing, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. It is. And I will say this for people who, got stuck on season two, cause there are people who got stuck on season two. They're like, oh, it was too slow, because like season one has such great pacing. It is a really, okay. You really always want to just go to the next episode. It's great pacing. The story is so good. It's just so I love season one. It's such a good show. And then season two is a little slower, but remember what we had discussed this before. I think originally they wrote it for one season and was like, oh, we have more, like, stretch this out. And so there's some slowness to season two because it's just information getting. It's just now, learning.
Now with this, are these people the ones complaining? Are they the people who don't know what filler episodes are? Because I feel
possibly.
Because I feel like a certain group of people just found out that there was a word called filler, and they've been using it incorrectly
their whole lives.
For the people who don't know, if you have a episode that has a lot of exposition or whatever, that is not filler. If you have an episode where someone is showing you a part of their life that, you know, informs you about a decision that they make later on, that is not filler. This is all information that you would get from, let's say, a book where they they're describing everything to you so that you can get a better understanding of what is happening, the setting and stuff like that. None of that stuff is filler. When we say filler, which usually comes from like anime, is when you have a slice of life that has nothing to do with anything. It's just something that's happening to this particular character. It doesn't inform you of them at all. All it is doing is like, hey, it literally, we don't have anything going on, and it's put in abruptly. And so it's like, oh, you know, this person's getting ready to slay a vampire. And then all of a sudden they have him going to the grocery store. And then that's it. He's just picking up apples at the grocery store. And then the next episode after that is him returning to fight vampires.
Right.
That was the filler part. There's no story information being shared. You know, a slow episode or an episode that's not as action-packed is not necessarily filler. Need y'all to tap in.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know your attention span's a little, you know what I mean? But you know, just you be aight for an hour. You be aight.
With that being said, it's actually kind of sad that we don't get filler episodes like that in these shorter series, because like when, you know, we grew up with the 24 episode seasons, you know,
so
we would get several episodes of filler that were just character building. I don't even want to say character building, but they were things that just informed you of who that person was, because it was, you take that person kind of outside of the canonical,
right,
like the linear storytelling that we're in, and then you just have them go side quests basically. But it's character building, because it's like a random, if you've got maybe characters who don't celebrate Christmas, and then one episode is just one of the side characters stuck at a mall where the power got cut off and the doors are locked, and now they're just Christmas shopping and they don't even celebrate that. Like, those things are actually wonderful that we used to get in these long, long form season shows. We don't get that in these shorter seasons, these 8-episode seasons, these 10-episode seasons. We've been trained.
And it's unfortunate, with the streaming era with that.
Yeah.
Because even now when we do get filler, it's usually put in the worst, spot. And that's why people get really upset about it, is because it's just, you left us on the cliffhanger for filler, you know? And it's because it's shoehorned in, because it's like, oh, we only have 7 episodes, we need 8. And the reason why you're stuck at 8 is because that's the, you know, Netflix's model or whatever the case may be right now. So yeah.
But I feel like it's not what happens with season 2.
Right. That was my point. I think because people were doing that with The Last of Us as well. They're like, oh, why is this filler? And I'm like, there's so much information here. They just informed you of this entire episode is telling you why something happened. You just see the remains of people, like bodies everywhere. And then the episode next shows you what happened to them. And it's like, how is that filler? You're seeing the effects. Like, it's just in a different order.
Right.
That's neither here nor there. Let's go ahead and start the show. So a couple of things happened since we've been gone. Some things that are more recent and some things that are, you know, happened a few weeks ago that I wanted to kind of bring up. Mm-hmm. And one of them I'm going to touch on briefly just because of the nature of the topic. So, you know, we had a special guest on our show, Jorge Gutierrez, awesome animator, artist, genuinely cool dude.
Yeah.
Came up and, you know, spoke with us, hung out. We're going to get him back on the show.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, haven't been living under a rock, you know that, you know, he had plans on doing a AI, you know, show or AI short. I don't know if it was a full show or short or whatever, but it was through Amazon Prime Video, and it was going to be a AI generated animated series. And as we all know, like, Jorge has kind of spoken out against AI in the past, and he's not a big fan of it. He wasn't scared of it because he was like, I don't think artists are going to lose their jobs. He even mentioned on our show that one of the big, you know, companies is probably going to sue, you know, ChatGPT or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's going to eventually encroach on their properties. And if they don't have any hands in the pot, they're going to sue. And then that's where we're actually going to see change. We see a little bit of that happening here and there, right? And so he's always been an advocate for this. And so to see him do this was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
Not just for like, well, I'm one of his fans. So it was shocking for me. And I was kind of bummed about it. And I wasn't sure why. Because the way he prefaced like why he was doing what he was doing was more so under the fact that like, hey, it's new technology and I kind of wanted to push it to be artists first. Let's see what we can do with this. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing what he was saying, but essentially he tried to make it artists friendly or artists forward in what he was saying, but it's still generative AI and it mm-hmm. has inherent issues beyond what the intent is, and that's what rubbed people the wrong way, is those things. And so with that, there was a lot of backlash, and he has come out and said that he has dropped his plans, which I have to commend. I actually tweeted him about it, but I have to commend him for it because that's not mm-hmm. an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And I can't speak toward his motives for doing it outside of what he said, and I can't speak towards his motives for not doing it other than what he said. But if I were to, it's easy for people to infer a couple of things. And I think that's what's also kind of rubbing people the wrong way. Because if you've been following him, he's been dropping, he did a whole episode of a new show that he's trying to get out. He wants to get, you know, funding and everything. And he put it on YouTube. He's been doing behind the scenes stuff with this new mm-hmm. animated show that he's trying to start. He did like the first episode. Up until a certain point, because after that, it's just like the sketches. It's not the full animated portion or whatever. It's just sketches after a certain point with the voiceovers and everything. And people were looking at that and was like, well, he needed the money. Like, whatever he was working on, it hasn't been working out. Some of his ideas weren't selling. And he spoke about, you know, racism in Hollywood and stuff like that and why that might be the case. Mm-hmm. And so some people were like, oh, you kind of sold out because you needed the money. Like, you'll do this AI project. It gives you a little bit of money, or it gives you a little leeway to put some of your stuff out there. And that's understandable in the sense of where people are coming from. I don't necessarily think that was the case. I think mm-hmm. I feel like because of the person he is, that he would genuinely feel like I could possibly pull out a positive something out of this outcome. Great. You know what I mean? Like I can make this positive in some form or fashion. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And he started getting death threats. People started people were contacting his, you know, was messaging his family on other social media apps. You know, they were losing their minds. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up now isn't to, you know, restart this craze. More so is to say that we have to be better with how we just deal with people and how we interact and how we go about just being around people in general. Trevor Noah, I'm a big fan of Trevor Noah. He was saying that mm-hmm. like it's not possible for people to, or he didn't say that this, he kind of said that it's hard to bully people online. And he's like, because you can always remove yourself. Whereas in school, you're kind of stuck there. You have to be there. And while I agree to an extent, I'm like, it's very easy in the sense of if you're, depending on your relation with the internet. Jorge does a lot of his stuff online. A lot of his mm-hmm. artwork and everything, the stuff he's promoting is all done online. His family is also online. And so when you're getting these death threats and everything, and people are doing all sorts of craziness, like he's getting bullied. And that's one of the reasons why this is his news about dropping his plans for the AI project may or may not be a sour, you know, bit mm-hmm. of grapes here, because I don't know if he's just like, hey, the backlash is so bad in a sense that I hurt my fans and I don't want to hurt my fans, so I want to drop this. Or the backlash is so crazy that I'm afraid that someone's going to hurt one of my family members.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wild. Like,
yeah.
I am 100% against AI. I don't want to, just having my art background and just how I feel about AI in general, I am extremely against AI and regardless of who's making it, Jorge, best friend, random neighbor, don't care,
right.
Not a fan of it, right? But at the same time, these people are human. Like, what does his wife have to do with this? What does his son have to do with this? What does threatening their lives over an AI project?
Crazy.
It wasn't, because the fact that he could drop it, it wasn't even a big It wasn't a big to-do. It wasn't like a big budget film that's getting ready to go to theaters, because they wouldn't have let him out of his contract. Mm-mm. Like, I promise you. You know what I mean? So, like, it wasn't even that impactful outside of the you know, assumed betrayal of, right. of him, you know, doing it. And you guys, not you, but people went bananas. And it's unfortunate, because I think there's good conversations to be had about all the stuff that's happening in Hollywood with directors and actors and everybody talking about AI and the assumptions that go along with it. Because a lot of people who spoke out about AI are actually seemingly sounding like they want to go with it. And I don't think it's because they want to go, you know, with the flow. I think it's like, I don't know what to do. Like, mm-hmm. my project isn't being greenlit, so I got to say something. I got to do something. And depending on where you are and your standing and your financials, maybe you might not be able to stand on certain things mm-hmm. as much as you would like. And while that's regrettable, it is understandable. And even if it wasn't, like, threatening people, I also tweeted that too. I was like, threatening his family is wild, people. Like,
that
we
is
gotta
crazy.
We got to calm down. We really got to calm down. I eventually do want to speak to him, whether, you know, on air or off, about it. Most likely off, just to kind of see where his mind is about it. And I'm not nobody. I'm no one. So don't take it that way. Mm-hmm. I'm just, I like Jorge, and like, I kind of want to have a dialogue, an artist dialogue type of situation. But
yeah.
That being said, I do wish, you know, his family's, you know, safe, mentally are well, and that, you know, whatever he gets into next, that it will be welcomed and people won't hold this over his head and you know, stuff like that. It's definitely, you know, an artist and director that I'm rooting for. And so, yeah, I hope things shake for him. But that was very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate. Okay.
A lot.
One person that I'm a little less inclined to give a pass would be Martin Scorsese. So Martin Scorsese recently was talking about generative AI. He was promoting generative AI. I know you're probably tired of us talking about AI. It's what it is. It's going to happen. Unfortunately, it's weeding itself into all things, and it sucks. But he has a partnership with AI startup Black Forest Labs, and he's talking about what you typically hear. It's like, hey, I can quickly generate something to show my cast and crew so they can get an idea of what it is I'm trying to create. Forget the fact that there are actual artists who do this type of thing for a living. I feel extra away about it because of who this person is and what he said about cinema. So we're going to get into, because the reason why we brought this up was because of the Art Directors Guild released a statement kind of like going at Martin Scorsese mm-hmm, mm-hmm. recently, and I'm going to read that, but I want to read this portion first, because I feel like it has a, it's ironic. I'll say ironic is probably the best word. I have another word, but ironic is probably better. So if you guys remember when Martin Scorsese was talking about superhero films, this is not me like protecting the MCU. I just want you to hear something. So I took a bit of what he was saying from an article. He said, in the past 20 years, as we know, the movie business has changed on all fronts, but the most ominous, there you go, mm-hmm. change has happened stealthily and under cover of night, the gradual but steady elimination of risk. Many films today are perfect products manufactured for immediate consumption. Listen to how that sounds. Perfect products manufactured for immediate consumption. Many of them are well made by teams of talented individuals. All the same, they lack something essential to cinema, the unifying vision of an individual artist. Let me read that again. All the same, they lack something essential to cinema, the unifying vision of an individual artist. That doesn't sound like AI.
No.
Considering that it's not the unique vision of an artist, because you're pulling from a bunch of other people's work to make whatever it is your idea is. Right. He goes on to say, Because, of course, the individual artist is the riskiest factor of all. I'm certainly not implying that movies should be a subsidized art form or that they ever were. When the Hollywood studio system was still alive and well, the tension between the artists and the people who ran the business was constant and intense, but it was a productive tension that gave us some of the greatest films ever made. He goes to mention some of these films. He says, today, that tension is gone. There are some in the business with the absolute indifference to the very question of art. Hilarious. I'm saying hilarious. And an attitude toward the history of cinema that is both dismissive and... hold up. Oh, I lost my place. This is what happens when people text you when you're trying to read from your phone. Sorry. You know what? Let me just skip this part. The situation, sadly, is that we now have two separate fields. There's worldwide audiovisual entertainment, and then there's cinema. There's still overlap from time to time, but that's becoming increasingly rare, and I fear that the financial dominance of one is being used to marginalize and even belittle the existence of the other. For anyone who dreams of making movies or who is just starting out, the situation at this moment is brutal and inhospitable to art, and the act of simply writing those words fills me with terrible sadness. What he is saying, in the gist, is that we have taken cinema. I don't agree with this, by the way. We've taken cinema and we've dumbed it down, if you will, to focus groups, to, you know, what's hot. You know what I mean? We're not taking any risks anymore. And it's a collaborative effort, excuse me, in the sense of this isn't a unified force or unified vision for a particular film. This is more of a, you know, product that we are sculpting based on prior information. Mm-hmm. And we're creating this thing that kind of looks like cinema, but isn't cinema. And he goes on to say this kind of like a roller coaster, you know? He doesn't like it. It's not cinema. And feel how you want to feel about that. But when he talks about the individual artists, when he talks about that unified vision, when he talks about the product, like making a product versus making art, I don't know how he doesn't see that in AI. Like, what are we talking about? It steals from other artists to create a thing, a glob of slop, if you will, that isn't unified. That isn't a
right.
It contradicts what he's saying. Right. This is, how is that? And granted, they're like, you know, obviously in the final product, we're going to make whatever, but that's not how this works. That's not how art works. That's not how artists do things. Like, I'm an artist and like, yeah, I'll take, you know, we'll do references, but usually like if I draw, like I want to draw a superhero and I'm like, hey, Tess, can you model for me? Like, mm-hmm. that's a reference that I can use. Yeah. Like the posing is a reference, or like, I want to draw my version of Super Mario. I need to know what his beard looks like. Mm-hmm. Like that makes sense. But if I'm trying to draw something that's new, like I'm not going to take a bunch of pictures and smash them together and then that's the new thing. And then I like erase some of the edges, remove some of the extra fingers and boom, there's my thing. It's like, no, that's not your thing. Mm-mm. Like, I think people kind of stop there because like, oh, they're not going to use that in the final product. It's essentially don't copy. Like, if you copy my homework, don't write all the same answers, kind of mess them up a little mm-hmm. bit. That's what that is. And I feel like it's very hypocritical. I don't want to hear anything he has to say about MCU, DCEU, Image. I don't care. Anything comic book, video game related, I don't want to hear it anymore. Because even though I disagreed with a lot of what he said, there's a bit of respect because of his station and what he's mm-hmm. done for cinema. But if this is your approach and this is what you're saying, no, you don't get to talk down to people who are making art because it's still art, whether you like it or not. And then not do art like in the manner that he's speaking. You know what I mean? It's weird. Anywho, that's my take. I'm going to let you have your take, Tess, and then I'm going to read what the Directors Guild had to say.
I just like how Boots Riley was like, nah, fuck him.
We got to get Boots up here, too.
Yo, yeah, we got to get Boots up here. Like, that was hilarious. I was reading this, and I'm like, wait, what is happening? And essentially, you know, the opinion was, okay, maybe he's just doing this because money. Like, not because he needs the money. That's not it. I mean, he can take it. They're going to give him a lot, right? But, like, so the idea is, okay, well, let me do this thing. It might make a whole ton of money. Might it might, you know, work out, might learn something. I don't know. But then the idea is that he kind of doesn't give a fuck. Because it's like, it's kind of a 180 of how he's always been. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, by the way, I knew it was going to flop anyway. That's why I didn't care. And then that's why Boots was like, well, fuck you then. Like,
yeah. He's like, if it's not that, then, you know.
Then, because it's like, if you knew it was going to flop, you didn't even need to, like, just everybody stand your ground. Like, everybody just stand together and hold fast against the, you know, what's coming, which is AI just taking over artistry. Right. And so I think people are right when they're upset, when, you know, they're artists and they're like, hey, you know, if you guys start doing this, it becomes more rampant. And then
That's
just what this is going to be now. It's no longer having the artists come in with their renderings of, you know, the things that they believe would be really good idea for the project. And then, you know, the project leads are like, hey, we're going to go with this design. It's now just using prompts, putting them into the system, putting them into the computer, putting them into Gemini, ChatGPT, all of the ones that make images, and then getting something. And it's like, hey, by the way, we're just going to use this. And I think I hear some of the artists saying, like, their excuse for working with it is like, hey, you know, this is a really good tool to use. It cuts down on time. And so it's a really good idea. Like, we can use this. And then, of course, the real artists will come and do the rest of the work, and we'll only use the art that the workers do. But I think that when we talk about saving time, I mean, we all would love to save time. That's why a lot of animated films use 3D. they use VFX.
Right.
It's easier to animate or whatever, but, like, instead of, you know, just going back to the drawing, literal drawing board, pun intended, where people were drawing all of our movies. My point in saying this is that a lot of people get paid to do that work, though. The liners, the fill-in people, like, there's a lot of jobs that are created when you're doing animated work, like artwork. And so I think when I hear you know, some of the people like, oh, well, if we use generative AI for these projects, it'll cut down a lot of time because we'll have all of our, you know, models, characters, whatever, generated by AI. And then we can just go straight into the meat and potatoes of the work. And it's like, I think he kind of just cut like 20 jobs.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. And concept artists. That's a whole field. That's a whole field.
And that's where it bothers me. I mean, because of that, like, I literally just made my first AI thing the other day on, not Gemini. I was using, what's the other one? Copilot.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first time I've literally ever did it. And I was doing Sims stuff. And I was making a wedding invitation because I, you know, I can't draw. I don't have that kind of, I'm not talented in that manner. And I was like, I need a wedding invitation. I used to be really, really good with Microsoft Publisher. I used to be able to make all kinds of invitations. I did every invitation for my family's, like, my sister's baby shower, graduations, I did the engagement ceremonies, like, I did all that. But anyway, that's the point, because now Geraldine's the best.
Facts.
But like, I just needed something for my Sims, and I was like, oh, can I put this in Copilot? And then it created something, and I was like, oh, this is great, wonderful, here, Reddit. Like, but I'm not an artist, so it doesn't matter for me, because I'm not trying to make a film based on AI.
It's like, I'm not, you know, and granted, it's not something I would do, but I'm not, like, when they started doing the AI and, you know, people started making those their avatars or whatever, I wasn't like, you know, like, trying to like, down with the, what, you know, whatever. I wasn't, because I didn't, until I understood fully, I was like, I don't care. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
But it's the so, like you were saying, like, the jobs are gone. And this
jobs
isn't,
are gone.
I want people to understand something too, because there's a fundamental difference. They like to bring up, like, let's say like the automobile industry, or, you know, back when we were like, you know, we used to work in the coal mines and now we have this machinery that took all these jobs. And
those were dangerous jobs.
Not even that. It's just like, it makes sense for innovation.
Yeah.
The difference here is that you're innovating in a manner that is stealing. That's not the same thing. If they did something where, like, for instance, because this did happen when Pixar, like when 3D animation blew up, because Jorge was talking about this too. When 3D animation blew up, it disrupted everything. And people were like, I don't know if we're going to have drawn animation. Like the people who are really good with 3D, that's going to be the new wave. And, you know, you could potentially lose a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
In and of itself, though, when 3D became a thing, it was still done by someone's hand. It was still a creation that you made yourself using your talent, not a thing that automated it for you. Because this isn't a job in a sense of, this isn't a how do I say this? This isn't a job to further productivity. If that's how you see art, then I guess I can see how your brain would work there. Mm-hmm. But this isn't a productivity type of thing. This isn't, you know, we're no longer using oxen because we have tractors to, you know, pull up this corn or whatever the case may be, or plow these fields. This is art, and art takes the talent of the individual. It takes their expression, artistic expression, their history, the things that they know and feel is all put into this thing. So it's not a one-to-one. This is not an assembly line, you know, situation. And so you can't use that argument. You can't use the argument that, like, technology always, you know, gets better and we stop doing certain things. Like, as great as we have, you know, these cameras on our phones, they're amazing. You know, the iPhone or whatever, Samsung's phones, they're great cameras. You still have professional photographers who use real cameras because it's an art. And even the people who do would choose to use the phone, they still are doing certain things artistically with it. It's not erasing that part of it. It's not erasing the person, and the AI does.
Right.
So I want people to understand, like, that's not a good one-to-one argument for why we should use AI, because prompts isn't talent. It's just not. Sorry.
It's not.
It's no talent. And it's stealing.
It's stealing. Like, I think a decent example of this is, you know, those stupid commercials that have these songs on them, and you know the songs are AI written and sung. You know a computer is doing it. And those things are so annoying to me right now. And the one that kind of sticks out to me a lot, and here we go, mentioning Taylor Swift again. But there's a Pilates thing that's like goes around on Instagram, like advertising Pilates, and it, you know, wants people to sign up for the program, whatever. And the song that's on there sounds like a Taylor Swift song, even sounds like her voice. It sounds like something that she would have written. It is, the song is written in her style, in a style that she would write it. Means, you know, she just writes in sentences.
Right.
So like that literally just sounds like her, and the voice is similar too. And I'm like, so y'all just pop this into an AI and crank out a song, put it in your little 30-second video. And I'm like, so no artists were harmed or paid in the making of this video.
Like, that's, well, technically they were harmed.
They were harmed, and they were not paid.
And then it also, like, as silly as it is, right? It's also, do you want a, because we see it, like, I've all the different versions of AI that I've seen. There's always something missing. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, I guess it's not missing, it's added, where they have extra fingers and stuff like that. I mean, there's something missing in the intentionality of it. There's something missing in the passion that goes into it. Because you can see these things, like seeing the AI stuff that I, even in film, one of the films that I reviewed, which I can't say 100% is AI, but it's very much feels like it is. There's a hollowness there. And you don't see that with low budget films, which is telling, right? Because this technology is expensive. It's cheap for people to use, but on the back end, it's actually very expensive. And the way that it's, you know, merging these things together to create whatever this image is, when I look at that, then I look at a low budget film where people might scoff at or whatever, I'm like, this, there's more heart and soul in this, and you can feel the difference. You can feel the difference. Agreed. And I get the idea of, like, you know, people not being talented, but do you want, because it's different than something you just posting on Reddit, like, hey, I want this idea real quick. Like, look at this funny meme, you know, this meme that I set up, right? But like, when you want to create something, like, you want to be proud of it, right? You want to be, you want it to represent you in some form or fashion. Like, I don't understand why that doesn't register with people.
Right.
And to some degree, it's like just a finished product. And like we said before, art isn't just products.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's not just products. And also at the same time, all of this AI stuff is ruining our lives. Data centers are popping up everywhere. They're making people sick, allegedly, apparently, around them. And guess what? Now we can't buy RAM. Because we can't afford it. Okay.
Right? Okay. Yes.
That is all true and real. And I'm not down for it. So for real, this AI stuff. I mean, I was never 100% in it. I think we've been pretty adamantly against it this entire time. And like I said, for the first time ever, I actually even handled anything AI related was just the other day by using Copilot, because I was like, oh, you know, I can make this for my Sims because I don't know whatever. Because people are using AI to make Sims assets, which is terrible. I'm sitting here like, I mean, I would love to be able to make Sims assets to make custom content, but I can't do that because I don't have that artist background. I shouldn't say I can't. I can do stuff. It's just going to take me longer because I'm not a talented artist and I don't really know how to use a lot of the programs that people use. Like, I don't know how to do that yet. It's something I can learn. I can totally learn, but I'm not going to be able to learn it like fast and then be able to like turn it into a lucrative hobby or anything like that. But there are people who do strictly AI things, and it's horrible. It literally is slop. People have AI writing mod code, and they're pumping out these mods that are just written by AI, and the mods don't work right. They're stupid. They're not. They have no depth to them because a person didn't write them. A computer wrote them. You just said, "Hey, can you?" You can literally just tell the generative AI, like, can you please write me a code, and this is what I want for it to do. Write me a mod for this game. This is what I want it to do. And you can actually get something that will function in the game. But when somebody uses it, when somebody installs it into the game, they're like, wait a minute, is this working the way it's supposed to? And of course it doesn't. It doesn't like crash your game or anything. That I think that is so lazy. And then to charge people money, like there are people who are, you know, they have Patreon accounts, they have whatever, they're like, you know, subscribe to me, pay me $6 a month or $3 a month, but I'm going to give you this AI shit. And people are like, wait, what, how are you even? And then the other thing that, so this is something that I just learned the other day. I was, you know, just hanging out on Reddit like I normally do. And I saw somebody had posted a picture and said, oh, I would love this hair. You know, can somebody please find this hair for me? I would love to download it for my game. And I was like, oh yeah, that is really nice. It was definitely a kind of like Simsified, cartoonified version of Lady Gaga. So one of the one of the commenters actually posted and said, that's not real. Like that hair doesn't exist in the game. That's AI. And then we're like, AI, how do you figure, like, this looks, I'm not saying that the hair is real, but this is a real picture. It's from somebody's game. It can't be not real. And then come to find out, the artist, the one who actually made the photo, that's what she does. That's her whole MO is that she takes real pictures from the world, you know, so whether it's album covers, whether it's just pictures that are on Google of artists, you know, any pop star you can think of right now, can just go on Google, and or if you want, you can go on Getty Images. You can pay for Getty and right. and download, you know, images. So that's what she does. And then she uses the AI tool, you know, whether she's using Copilot or whether she's using ChatGPT or whether she's using Gemini, I don't know which one. You can take that photo, ask it to turn it into Max's style. Like, can you turn this photo that I'm giving you into a Max's style render? And then it's like, yeah, totally. Because I literally read this and I went and did it myself. I was like, so it's that easy. Huh. And whether or not, but then to turn around and then make it into artwork. Now you do have to do the work with that. You have to open the program and you have to know how to turn it into a custom content package file. You do have to learn how to do these things. Mind you, they're easy. You can figure that out in 5 seconds. And then next thing you know, this is now something that you can do all day and all day long, all day strong. What's interesting about it is that you can ask yourself a question, or anybody can ask from the outside, just ask a question and be like, okay, well, this is cool. I like this. I would love Max's versions of celebrities, pop stars, and things like that to put into the game, because it doesn't break the immersion. Because what's weird is you taking a real, you know, a picture from our real world and then just stuffing it into the Sims game as a poster. And that's weird because we don't look like the Sims.
Right.
You know, so having a Max's version obviously is great. That's exactly what people want. Now, the issue, the moral issue or whatever, which is the one I like to ask, because, you know, the person can and does, I believe, make money off of what they're doing.
Right.
The real question is, wouldn't this be better if these Max's style photos that are just Max's versions of real photos that have already been, that exist in our world, wouldn't it be nice if somebody was actually drawing them in the Max's style? Like an artist was drawing, like, hey, this is the work that I like to create. I like to take real world photos and I like to turn them into Max's style and put them into the game, because that would be the other alternative versus, yeah.
And it's, you know, just copy pasting type situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even then there's, you know, potential qualms, you know, with that too. But even then, it's like, it's better than the alternative.
Right.
And then to sell it is wild. Like that's a whole nother level of interesting. And you know, people are going to people,
you
know,
we
saw this with, you know, just with everything in life, but you know, more recently the NFT, you know, thing, we've seen this a lot. And so, if people can hustle, they will. You know, they'll do it until they get caught, and it'll be what it is. But I just think, I don't know. People care, you know, differently. There's a lot of AI stuff that's out that people just don't care. And I understand it to a degree, because maybe they don't understand the impact. They don't really care about other people's jobs or other people in general, or they just want their shiny thing. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
cool thing. It's, you know, whatever. And that's, you know, regardless of whatever logic, you know, like you can't logic yourself into it or out of it.
Right.
Situation is like, no, it's just kind of bad, but you're okay with it. So it's whatever. Speaking of logic or lack thereof, so the Summer Game Fest was just this past weekend and we got an announcement from, and I'm gonna come back to the art director's thing in a second, but we had an announcement from RGG, Sega's in-house development studio. They are making a game called, you know, Stranger Than Heaven, and this is essentially, it's like, you know, the Yakuza series, but different in a way. It's still an adventure game or action adventure game, story heavy, you know, third person, set in, I want to say Japan. I could be wrong there. I need to double check, but I believe it's set in Japan, and it's the timing of it is it's like a 19, I don't know, 50s or something like that. Like it's old. It's not like a modern telling of this story, and it has to do with these two orphans who go from the U.S. to Japan, and they get, you know, into the underworld of Japan, and, you know, become, you know, people in a sense, where one person I think is like a Yakuza boss, and another person is like a enforcer, and they have these run-ins, and it's interesting in and of itself is interesting. Mm. And I want to make that clear because I feel like certain moves recently aren't they take away from the interesting aspects of it, and they make it feel like the devs didn't think that their story could stand on its own, which is really odd because Sega's been doing pretty well from what I've seen as of late. One of the things that was interesting was the fact that Snoop Dogg is in the game. He's a character. He is a smuggler who takes these two orphans to Japan, and you know, they eventually grow up, and he's in their lives as they grow up and all this other stuff. And so we're like, oh, this is interesting. I don't know why he's in the game, like right. a character with like, because he doesn't feel he feels kind of out of place. And you know, similarly to like if you see like, you know, RZA will do a film, you know, kung fu film, and he'll just kind of be in there as one of the kung fu masters or whatever. And you, it's like I can kind of just I just see RZA for the most part, but at the very least, he's trying to fit in with the time of whatever is happening in the film, and not to be a distraction. Whereas Snoop's before, and granted, we haven't seen his full performance. It was kind of like, okay, I see Snoop. I don't really see whoever he's trying to be, but whatever. That's a thing that happens with video games. Cool. Mm-hmm. But then on, you know, they show a new trailer, and they show Tupac Shakur. They have a cameo of him apparently in the game, and I've actually read that I think he's playable, which I think is even worse than what I think this is.
So wild.
But he's in the game, and you know, his likeness is in the game. I'm guessing someone's going to voice him. Sega and Snoop Dogg said that it wasn't made by AI. This is all, you know, coded by hand, and that they're going to, they got, you know, permission from the Shakur estate and whatnot, and you know, he for whatever reason, Snoop was like, it makes sense to put Tupac in here. He would want to be in a video game or whatever. And initially I was like, this is, first of all, there was the shock of him showing up, like he just walks out of the shadows as himself, and I'm like, okay, what?
Right.
Like bandana tied in the front and everything. I'm like, what are we doing here? But then the explanation came, and I was like, oh no.
Makes no sense.
It just makes no sense. Like, whatever type of period piece you were trying to make, you've just destroyed all sense of fantasy that was going to be here. Like, it's just, he stands out for obvious reasons. But then there's also this idea of the estate. Now, personally, I don't care what the estate says. I don't care, unless he had something in his will that said, I would like to be put in a game that I never heard of after I've died. That is the only way I am cool with that. And that's not to be disrespectful of any family, but it's kind of disrespectful to be like, you know, this person will be cool with it for money, mind you, because this isn't free. So to be like, because it's one of those things where like you kind of inherently feel kind of shaky saying, because you know it's for money, right? So yeah, Tupac would love to be in this game with Snoop for money. Even though he's deceased, he would have loved it for money. Like you have to add that part, because I'm doing this for money, right? And because of that, you have to kind of go, wait, are you saying this because you want money? Because you're the one getting the money? He isn't, and his family isn't. Come to find out that you know, his mother left the estate in I forgot the person's name. Darn, it was a guy who was the former head. Oh, Tom, I think his name is Whaley, the former head of Warner Brothers Records. Shout out to Kotaku for supplying the name. And he has apparently he's been accused of embezzling money, and Tupac's sister has been suing him to try to get access of the estate. So it's already real funky before the announcement of this video game. But now we find out that the estate isn't even his family saying that it's okay. It's a random white dude. And I don't want to say random, because obviously she trusted him. His mother trusted him at the time to take care of the estate. But he's coming off as a random white dude who wants money right now. And so it's just very icky and not cool, and I'm not a fan of it. I'm not telling anybody that they shouldn't play it or that they should play it. I'm telling you where I stand. I will not be purchasing this game. This is not a any grandstanding on my end. I just think it's nasty. Like, mm-hmm. he has no say in this. And the estate is all funky. And it's a weird, it doesn't even fit anyways. If this was like an urban thing, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this was like a retelling of something or some type of documentary, but made, because you know, like Pharrell did the documentary in Legos. Like, if they did some type of thing with him and it was a video game format, I still know, but I, at least it would make a little bit more sense than a period piece in Japan. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, I just, it's strange, just like the name. It's strange. Very, very strange.
Yep, agreed. Very much so.
I don't get it. What were your thoughts when I sent you the outside of shock? What was your thoughts?
Yeah, well, shock really was it. That's the issue. I'm like, I just don't understand why Tupac is in a game. I'm sitting here, the first thing that I'm seeing, I'm seeing Tupac in a game. I'm like, what is Stranger Than Heaven? I don't know what that is. And I'm like, because if I think Tupac's in a game, especially with the bandana on his head like that, you know, I'm thinking that it's Grand Theft Auto. I'm thinking that it's something else. Like, I'm just thinking that he's not going to be. Tupac was not a real gangbanger. He decided he wanted to be a gangbanger. Okay, like he kind of was. So that's why I'm thinking. I'm like, is this a reverse Clark Kent? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of game are we playing? Are we playing where the guy who likes to write poetry then becomes and you know starts rapping, then decides he wants to be a gangbanger? Like, I'm sorry, I was very confused. Very confused. I'm very
Everyone
confused
was.
That what's his name? Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg just seems right now to just be on the grift. Like, he is doing anything that makes money. I don't know what's going on. He decided that he wanted to go be on stage for Trump. He did all kinds of I don't know what Snoop is doing. I don't know who this person is anymore. So I just find this whole thing to be very, very strange. I just, no pun intended, everybody.
right.
But I just find it to be, I find it to be weird and like rage baity. Like, Sega, what are you doing? And then just because we then find out that Tupac's sister is in this legal battle with the state's the estate's executor is really bad. And I'm saying, there's just no way around this stuff. This is messy. And then it also just doesn't need to happen. It doesn't, I don't understand what the point is in being in, I don't get it. Many questions.
Like, cause it makes you think like he's been, so he's, you know, he passed away, what, 30 years ago?
Something like that. Is he rapping in this game?
Like, they haven't, all they showed was like him walking out, and then they cut the trailer there. And then, you know, Snoop comes out and he goes into his whole spill. But it's like, what did you think? I don't even know who the target audience is anymore. Yeah. I don't know what. Did you not think the story was good enough to actually sell? Like, it feels like Sega was like, hey, we need some rappers in this thing to sell this game. And I really feel like they didn't, because it looked good. It looked really good when they were showing it off.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been around the block. They're talented. Like, why would you need to do this? And then of all rappers you pick, you didn't pick like a Kendrick. You know, he's pretty hot right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You didn't even pick a Drake, you know, as asinine as that might have been. You didn't pick him.
Right.
You didn't pick. You mean there's just a lot of there's a lot of different picks. You could have picked actors. Like, that would have been better. Like, hey, famous actors are in this game that's very story based. That's very, you know, there's a solid narrative. You got actors, you know, from films. We see this all the time where, you know, it won't be it would be the actor because they voice a character. They'll be, you know, use motion capture or whatever to to be them visually. You know what I mean? Like they you know, the person's face in the game will have the same face as the actor or whatever. I probably said that the wrong way, but whatever, you get what I'm saying. And that's a thing. That's been a thing for years. You know, Call of Duty has had several actors as soldiers pop up, and it's a big thing, right? And so that would make more sense. Like, hey, Stranger Than Heaven needs a bit of Hollywood to sell, we think. And so how about we go get this actor, you know, who's been in all these films lately, you know, Michael B. Jordan, you know, it would still be weird, but at the very least it would make like, you could kind of see where the logic went left, right? You can kind of see like, okay, you were going down here and then he just won an Oscar. Okay. I see where you were going. Right. He's also been in period pieces, maybe not like this, but he's done some of this stuff before and he's done voice work before. So yeah, this could be a thing. Like I could see how you can kind of make this pivot, but I don't see how you were like Tupac. And I know like Snoop potentially, because he announced Death Row Gaming, since he bought Death Row Records, he wants to get into gaming, and an easy way is to do voice acting right now, as opposed to paying to have a game completely, developed. Like I think RZA is actually doing that. Wu-Tang has a game that's going to be coming out soon, or I don't know soon, but they announced the game. And so as opposed to doing that, you're going to, you know, latch onto a game that could potentially be popular. Mm-hmm. But to then go and be like, oh, let me grab Tupac and not anybody else. Yeah. Not anybody who's alive, not anybody else who could act. You go and grab Tupac. What was your, like, outside of, the only thing I can think of is like, outside of him getting money is potentially the family could get some money from this. And maybe he didn't know that the estate wasn't controlled by the family anymore. Like maybe he thought like, ooh, I'm going to get a lot of money from this. Maybe I could help them out by putting Tupac in the game. Like that's the only thing I can see, because this isn't something, I don't see people buying this for Tupac. It's what I'm trying to get at. I don't see people going, you know what, that Stranger Than Heaven game, I don't know if I'm going to get it. I'm kind of on the fence. Oh, Tupac is in it? Oh, I got to get it. I don't see that online at all. That has not been the thing. Either people don't care about it or they're disgusted. That has been the response. So what is happening?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea what is happening. I want it all to end.
Yeah. I don't know.
It to end. I think it's foolish. I think it's weird. It's silly. And I don't get it. I can't wrap my head around it. So I'm just at a loss. I don't know. I'm like, if this was Enzoy, I would be okay with it, because, you know, like how, you know, you wanted to look all hyper realistic and then you want to sit down at your computer and burn tracks. I totally see that for Tupac.
But even then, right, it'll probably be someone makes them, like the making a me in on the Nintendo system. It's like, oh, I made Tupac, and, you know, you can download him with this code. People will still feel a way about it, but at the very least, this is not an advertising. It's someone made it. They created something in the game. Using the tools from the game to make a celebrity. That's, people have done that forever, right? But we've never seen this. I don't think we've ever seen this on the big stage where they just announce him. Like the closest thing I can think of is when an actor is in a game and they recently passed away and the game comes out after he passed. So for instance, they announced and granted, he was alive at the time, but they announced Spider-Man 2, and then they announced that Venom was being voiced by his name just fell out of my head. Give me a sec. It's the person who played Candyman, Tony Todd. So they announced that he was going to be Venom. He's going to be the voice of Venom. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, shortly after, I want to say the game was out prior to him. The game was out prior to him passing. Because he passed in November of 2024. I can see that happening where, like, they're like, you know, we're doing this in the memory of, or, you know, Lance Riddick, you know, with his involvement in Destiny. Like, that kind of makes sense because the person was alive to actually voice the character before they pass. only time I've seen this. Something right. similar. This is it's strange. It's strange. But yeah, that is our show because I see we're coming up. Well, actually, we're over time. and that's on me because I've been rambling this episode. Shout out to everybody that stuck with us while I was rambling. If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, awesome. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell. And if you're listening on those other things and you aren't listening on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe anyways because we're trying to get those numbers up. They're moving.
Yeah.
But if we could kind of like, you know what I mean? Kind of like pick it up a little bit, that'd be great because we're trying to, you know, get into the algorithm of sorts. And I have plans. I have big plans. Mm-hmm. And for those plans to come to fruition, we need more subscribers. It's just what it is. Yeah. So I'm not saying you have to stop listening because I know there's people who actually on their way to work listen to us on Spotify. I've actually mm-hmm. heard that. And I salute you and, you know, feel free to continue to do that. But if you could just drop a little, you know, sub on there, that would be great. And feel free to share with your friends and your enemies. We don't discriminate here. You know, you can ghost them right after. You know what I mean? Like Boots Riley said when he was talking about I Love Boosters, he was like, share it with your exes. You can ghost them right after. It's okay. It's okay. They won't be too upset. I promise you. You know, but yeah, definitely follow us on Twitter and all the social medias and whatnot at the mm-hmm. bottom, and be on the lookout for more content. I have more reviews that are going to be going up. I'm still working on setting up interviews and bringing on special guests. We just had, you know, minor setback. I was sick and then allergies and a bunch of other stuff happened and life be life. And so it took a little while to get to episode 127, but we're going to be rocking. So yeah, feel free to come back.
Yes.
As we talk about all things gaming, anime, movies, et cetera.
I'm big on the et cetera. yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us guys. We appreciate all of you. Every last one of you. Hit that like and subscribe to us. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Don't be a dick. That's a very important thing for us. So just remember that. Don't be a dick. Remember to wash your faces, your hands, and your butts. And just be a good person. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye-bye.